So it's great to be back in Fremantle. Just a quick introduction. Myself, I'm Jonathan Acherim. My wife, Sheila Acherim. We lead and helped lead at C3 Wellard, which is great. And we just want to thank you, Fremantle, for all the support that you guys have given us over the last 2.5 years to help us establish the church there. And things are going good at Wellard. Come and visit us there if you can. And it'll be good to see you guys. I also like to honor our senior ministers, Pastor Nigel, Pastor Andrea, who have persevered, who have stuck in through thick and thin and constantly doing God's work in such a fantastic way. And just so thankful for them in our lives. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to share the message this morning. So I'm not sure you guys have been coming every week and stuff, but this part of our relationship series called What's Love Got to Do With It? And I personally have been thoroughly enjoying this series. A few weeks ago, we had Pastor Emma started off with us with a series about couples, relationships. Pastor John Finkelde preached about betrayal in relationships. Pastor Barry last week, who enjoyed that message with his man bag. I'm not sure, did you? That was pretty cool. Today, I think this is the last part of our relationship series. And I'm going to speak about godly relationships, relationships with others in your life, with people around you, how we're building, maintaining, and thriving in godly relationships with others. So I'll start the question this morning. Are you in a relationship? And if you are, please raise your hand. I only see a few hands, though. I think you misunderstood what I meant. Are you in a relationship? Yes, that's right. Every one of you guys are in a relationship. So you are in a relationship with someone else, unless you're living in a cave somewhere on your own and stuff like that. But you are in a relationship with someone else. And I just want you to understand that my message is applicable to all of you today, okay? You see, life is made up of many different and unique relationships and which God has established. So let's be honest here. Let's start with this first thing about your relationship with God. If your relationship with God is not right, your relationship with others, people around you, is never going to be right. It's the most important relationship is your relationship with God. And it all starts by putting God first in your life. So I'm going to start this morning by looking at a passage in the Bible, in the book of Matthew. So if you guys have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. I have the scripture up there as well on the screen, and you can have a look there. This may not be the typical scripture that you will find for relationships, but it's something that I think is important, and as we read, we'll understand why. So it goes on to say at verse 31, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans," now pagans are people who are unbelievers, "run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them." Your heavenly Father knows you need them. So let's say together, church, God knows what I need. Let's say that together. God knows what I need. And if you've been staying up and stressing about things that are out of your control, speak into yourself and say this thing, God knows what I need. And that is a good thing to say, because anytime in your life that you feel that you're not good enough, you don't have what you need, or you don't have what others have, you just read to remind yourself that God knows what I need. And sometimes the reason why we can't receive the provision of God in some areas of our lives is maybe because we don't have our priorities aligned. Anyone get that? You don't have your priorities aligned. And sometimes what we interpret as a lack of provision in our life is actually a lack of prioritization on our part. A lack of prioritization on our part, not getting our focus right. See, when we go on to read in Matthew 6:33 in this passage, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." God says, when you align my heart with your heart and your plans with my plans and purposes, I will give you the things that the rest of the world has to grasp for. I will give you the peace that multimillionaires can't even buy. Every good, perfect gift comes from God above, because I am in a relationship with God. I have access to all I need because He's called me to be who He needs me to be, and seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness. And all these other factors will be taken care of my Father. Matthew 6:34 goes on to say, same passage, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. As I said earlier, if our priorities are not aligned with God's heart, we're not getting our focus right. So my message today, this morning, is fix your focus. That is my message. Because I believe that one thing that you are ever in control of your life is your focus. There are so many factors in your life that is beyond your control. You don't have control of so many things. But there's one thing that you can always have control of is your focus. And if you learn how to do it well, and if you are committed to how you focus, you're going to have a successful life. Now, many relationships, right, they fail. Not because of a loss of love. It's a loss of focus. And that's one of the things why a church sometimes fails as well. Because when you stop caring about the things that God is caring about, sometimes what we call failure is really broken focus. To get that failure is broken focus. And it's the reason why the passion that exists in some relationships, when it's getting started, it tends to leak out of you and you wonder why. Where, what went wrong that you lost the love? Because somehow we have lost the focus along the way. So it's very difficult to keep that first love focus in any relationship. And I think Jesus is calling us back to fix our focus. That little passage we read from Matthew 6, 31 to 34. Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Jesus is talking about several different topics here. But the main thing is focus. So fix your focus. Now, like I said, your godly relationship. My first area I want to leave you guys with this morning is focus on falling in love with God rather than falling out of love with Him. Yeah? I'll tell you why I say this. Like I said earlier, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Our relationship with God. And when it comes to our relationship with God, our Father, yes, we all know about reading our Bible daily. We know about spending time in prayer. And we talk about this a lot in church. So you guys have heard all this before. You know about all these areas, the things that you are supposed to do. Now, I just want to share with you, there was a point of time in my life where some of my needs, they were just not being met by God. And I got to a point where I just started losing focus on the things that God, on the things of God, and I was just focusing on my need, what I wanted at that point of time. And I used to open the Bible each day, yeah, and read the word, but nothing was getting through to me. And I started questioning, why do I have to read about some ancient culture, the Israelites, the Jewish people? What do these people have in common with my life? I mean, and my situation right now. Have you guys ever had that before? You know, where you just open the Bible and you just can't go on reading anymore because, like, what's all this about? You know, but you see, church, I got so caught up in my situation that I lost my focus and my heart of on the heart of God. And even some of us who are seasoned Christians, you have been doing this walk. You have been faithfully coming to church every Sunday. You've been reading your Bible. You've been doing the things that God asks you to do, but we have these moments in our lives sometimes where we get frustrated and upset that things are not going our way. And then when this frustration starts to creep in, what happens? It firstly starts to affect our relationship with God, and then it affects people around us. So, you know, my solution to this fix is to actually fix your focus. Try to stop focusing on your need, but focus on the things of God. And the solution is simple. We need to just remind ourselves of some basics. Do not cut that flow from God. We need to remember why we need to read our Bible each day, why we need to pray. Because if you cut that flow, that heavenly flow from God, then you're going to just separate yourself from the things that you need to do. So let's take it back to the basics. Reading the Bible reminds us of God's character. Because if you want to truly understand how God is going to move in your situation and why are you in a relationship with Him in the first place, you need to know about Him, bottom line. And I love some of the Old Testament stories. Sometimes we think it's all about the New Testament. The Old Testament is irrelevant. But there are so many stories about the character of God, who He is, what he's about, the compassion, the mercy that he showed his people, taking them through foreign lands, caring for his people through difficult times, loving on them. What also shows you the firmness of God. And when he means business, he means business. So it teaches us to understand and imitate God and his ways. I can draw so many parallels of the Israelites, the Jewish people, and their journey out of Egypt to my own life. There's so many parallels I can draw. We see about the character of people, human relations. For example, the Israelites, again, it took these guys 40 years to get to a place that was only 3 days away. Aren't we like that sometimes, you know? I mean, our human nature. Reading the Bible keeps us from sin. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So reading the Bible helps us to renew our minds so that we can know God's will for our lives. I went to visit a friend one day, and I noticed that his Bible was kept open in his study. And I asked him about it, and his reply was like, yeah, so that I can come back to the day and I can continue to either see where I left off from or go back the next day and start over again. And I was like, wow, this was a big deal, because I used to close my Bible. And sometimes once you close your Bible, it doesn't get open up for a long time after that. The cobwebs start to build up. So that actually changed my perspective, because now when I leave my Bible open every day, I look at that open Bible, I subconsciously register in my head and my brain that I have to read God's word today, even though I'm not feeling like it. And I'm telling you, sometimes the small things make a difference. So if you've not done it before, go back home, keep that Bible opened up, church. You might see some difference. And why am I telling you all this? Why am I going through all these basics back again? Because I want to remind you today to fall in love with God again through his word. To ignite that passion within you to love and serve God and study his word and get to know his ways. In spite of your situation, the breakthrough will come. Pastor Andrea prayed it so well just now during the landing worship. And she said, in spite of your situation, God will find a solution to your need. And the Bible says that, don't give up. Keep persevering through your situation. The more you know God, the more you try to imitate God's ways and the ways of Jesus Christ. And this will have a huge impact on your relationships with others, people around you, your family, people in your workplace, your community, and so on. So when you lose focus and stop caring about what God is caring about, you know, that's where we sort of lose the plot in that situation. There's a really important verse here, Psalm 51:12, which I think is quite important. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Psalm 51:12, just remember this. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, church. Fall in love with God again. Fall in love with his ways and fall in love with what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you and I. The next area I want to discuss about, which I think is really important, is time management. So my next point is focus on what I need to get done first rather than how much I need to get done. Just have some water. So time management, relationships, what has that got to do with it? What's the connection? You will understand as I move on. For starters, do some of you sometimes wish you had 36 hours in the day? Instead of 24, that extra 8 hours will certainly help. And time can be a huge problem for a lot of us, having enough time to do the things that we want to do. Time management is important because of the shortness, the briefness of our lives. We think 80 years, 90 years lifespan is a long time. Let's see what the Bible says about this. Let's go to Psalms 39:4 to 5. And King David says this, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered. How fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hands. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us but a breath. To live as God would have us live is essential. We make the best possible use of our allotted time. David says it, our life is short. There's another scripture here, Ephesians 5:15 to 16. This is a very good one. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You see verse 16, what it says, Making most of every opportunity, living wisely involves using our time carefully. From the verses above, you can clearly see the connection between time management and relationships. If we can manage our time wisely, we can fix our focus on other things. The more time we have, the more time we can spend with others. Now, good time management equals quality relationships. Couples, husbands and wives, those who are married, effective time management, you get more time to spend with your spouse, more time to spend with your kids. Single people, any single people in the house? Single people? I see one or two hands. You guys know how effective you guys can be and how much you can do. Yes, I get it. You know, some of you are juggling school, you're juggling work, you're juggling uni life. But what if you chuck in a husband or a wife and some kids into your scenario? You will find that your responsibilities as a single person just goes right up. So don't get me wrong. Hey, I'm not discouraging you guys from single folk out there from getting married or anything. But I must admit, I look sometimes at my singlehood and I sort of reminisce the days. I love my wife. I love my kids. I'm just trying to make a point here. Single people, you guys have the power. Do you know how much time, talent, of your time and talent and treasure you can give into God's kingdom? Have you thought about that? Luke 10:12 says, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Get involved with your local church. Go see your pastor and say, here I am. What can I do? Pastor Andrea, Pastor Emma, there's Pastor Barry. See them, Pastor Sheila, Willard. See them and see what you can do to get involved with your local church. And remember this, as a single person, I have the power to be productive in God's kingdom. And how do we do this? How do we manage our time effectively? I have a quick video here that I'd like to show you guys, so you can have the AV team play that clip one.
Time management is a big concern for a lot of people. I keep hearing there are just not enough hours in the day. Or, where does my time go? Face it, we all live busy lives. Work, family, and other commitments keep us all hopping. To utilize better time management, it's important to recognize what the specific problems are. Is it not having enough time for you or your family? Do you feel that you are wasting time by excessive driving? Maybe you're not sure where all your time is going and just want to account for it. The most important step in time management is evaluating our schedules. On a sheet of paper, write out a typical week for you. By looking at your current schedule, you will be able to identify places where better time management could be used. Ask yourself, why are you feeling unsatisfied with your schedule? Make a list of what you want to change and what you want to make room for. Do you want more time to pursue interests, more time to be with your children, or just more time to get everything done? After you have done this, take a piece of paper and draw three columns. In the first column, put a list of all the appointments, events, or commitments that are set in stone. Things that take place at a set time and happen daily, weekly, or monthly, such as work, club meetings, or standing doctor's appointments. In the second column, put flexible tasks or commitments that can be done around your set-in-stone commitments, such as grocery shopping, house cleaning, or having lunch with a friend. In the third column, put those occasional appointments, doctor appointments, a school play, or an old friend coming into town, or anything that does not fall into the other two columns. Then, using a calendar or use a notebook and label each page a day or two. Start putting in the items from your three columns, starting with the items that are set in stone, then the items that are occasional. Leave the flexible items to last, since you're able to put them in around the other things. The objective is to balance out your days and to maximize your time. Why make a separate trip to the pharmacy when it is on your way to your son's soccer practice? I always try to plan appointments in the same area on the same day. This reduces my travel time and gets the most out of my day. The biggest thing to consider is, are you doing too much? No matter how well time is managed, there is such a thing as an overload of commitments. Time management is not just about structuring your week so that you can get everything accomplished. Include things that you want to do but just don't seem to have time for in your day. What is the sense of managing your time better just to fit in more work? A part of time management is balancing so that you can have time to enjoy the fun stuff in life too. By mastering your time, you can accomplish much more with less effort. Be choosy about how you spend your time. Focus on activities which most closely match your goals. By taking time to monitor, measure, and manage your time, you will enjoy an abundance of success and happiness.
Time management, really important, eh? If you didn't get time to jot down some of those points, I'm playing this clip at C3 Wella this evening again. Come and join us there. My profession, my job, I'm a captain of a ship. That's my profession. That's my line of work. So I have to be spot on with how I manage my time on board the vessel. On the ship, we transport LNG from Australia to Japan, liquefied natural gas. And it takes us about 9 days to get there in good weather from Dampier to Japan. And in that 9 days, there's heaps of stuff to do. Training, safety drills, maintenance work, and a lot of stuff. And I usually prepare a draft plan at the start of the voyage and jot down all the things that we need to do. And then we have a meeting with the heads of department and we go through to make any changes that are necessary. And the next phase of that is to execute that plan. So you don't have to be that extensive, but what I'm saying is on the weekends, take about 30 minutes at least, and planning how your week is going to be right up, as the video showed, a couple of columns, and then write down the things that you need to do and have a plan for yourself, because what I'm getting at is that when you try to manage your time better, right, you know, you will have more confidence to start your week and you will have a solid and robust plan and try to stick with that. Most importantly, in that plan, try to schedule regular daily time with God, spending time both with God, both private and corporately. Now, see the word corporately here. This means coming to church regularly every Sunday as well, consistently every Sunday. How can you expect God to be consistent in your life when you're not being consistent with His kingdom? And time belongs to God, so ask God for the wisdom on how to manage your time and how best to use it. As Christians, we are called to invest time in relationships with others, and that's what Jesus Christ did, right? If you're seeking to change use of your time, the first step is reflection. Make a concerted effort to fix your focus on time management. And some of the tips that I mentioned that was in that video, try and do that and see if it makes a difference. Now, the third point, communication. Just another good one. Focus on listening more and speaking less. So we know that God speaks to us through His Word. And we spoke about this earlier, the importance of reading the Bible. And we speak to God through prayer. Now, secondly, the important communication that we have is we must examine how we actually communicate with people. So a wise person once told me this. He said, "Jonathan, mate, a person who listens is a person who actually commands a conversation. It's not the person who's blabbering away, yep, yep, yep. It is the person who listens who commands a conversation." So if you like to talk a lot, I don't mean to offend you. But try listening to someone for a change and see if this will help in the way that you communicate with others. When you listen to someone, be authentic, yeah? Show interest in their story. Have you felt that when you're having a conversation with someone before, it's all one-way traffic? Like, you know, some people just want to speak all about their story. They don't want to listen to your story. Sometimes it's just good to ask people, "How's it going, mate? How's your day been?" You know, listen and engage with someone else. Be interested in their story too. And that's how we build bridges and close gaps in our relationships with others. If you look at James 1:19, there's a good verse here as well. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, when we speak in anger, right, we fail to show God's love. Whether speaking to a family member or a stranger, our communication should be in a loving way. And Jesus says this, you know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If our hearts are filled with ungodliness, we'll eventually come forth in our speech when we talk to others. Body language, facial expressions to others are important as well. For example, like when your wife asks you to massage her feet after a long day, and you go like, yeah, no worries, honey. Didn't you know that massaging my feet is like my favorite pastime? And then you're squeezing her feet too hard in the process, and because you were just annoyed, you had to massage your feet. But hey, instead, try this. No worries, honey. Consider it done. I would love to do that for you. Practice it in the mirror in the morning if you need some practice. I've got to go into one more area, the last part of my message this morning. It's the area of offenses. So focus on finding a solution rather than staying offended. About 2 years ago, we had a mice problem in our house, and I tried all kinds of different traps and methods, and I was not successful. And somehow this little mouse became braver, because instead of being subtle about his movements around the house, he became much bolder. He would make a guest appearance and show himself every now and then because I failed to catch him. And he was just teasing and taunting me. And then I came close once or twice, actually, trying to catch the mouse, with my three boys running frantically around the house with a broomstick. And then I realized something. You know what? Perhaps I should change the bait I was using. Cheese didn't work. Whoever says cheese works, doesn't work. Don't use cheese for catching a mouse. Anchovies, Bicky crumbs didn't work. So where does a desperate man with a mouse problem go to? Bunnings Warehouse. And so off I went to Bunnings, and I got this contraption with a special bait. And I went home with some hope that I would catch this mouse. And guess what? The first night of laying the trap, next morning I caught Mr. Mouse. And I'm not going to tell you what I did with him after that. We are in church. But the point is, I caught the mouse. And what did I learn out of this? You've got to reuse the right kind of bait. It turned out that the mouse had a few relatives that received the same fate after that. Because I used looks like that right kind of bait worked. And if you want to know more about mouse catching, come and see me after church. I'll be happy to share some tips with you guys. On a more serious note, Satan, the devil, is the enemy of our soul. And he incorporates this strategy to trap us. The devil uses the right kind of bait, the bait of offenses, to trap us. It is one of the most deceptive kinds of bait that every Christian has encountered. Do you remember sometime in action movies when soldiers take out their T-shirts and they're bragging about their scars, you know? Like, oh, this was in Vietnam, 1972. And then someone else opens a bigger scar, and they show you their wound. Oh, that was in Iraq in 1990 in the Gulf War. And soldiers bragging about their scars of war. A lot of us are like those soldiers walking around with wounds of offenses. We are still carrying them on us. The scars of offense that we carry within us will show in our lives. Hurt, anger, jealousy, resentment, bitterness, hatred, envy. These are the fruits of carrying your offense. The most effective way for the enemy to blind us is when we focus on ourselves and we stay offended. And I'm not going to take it lightly, okay? You may have had different degrees of offenses that have occurred in your life, and may be hard to release some of the things and move beyond it, to move beyond that wall. And I get it, we've all been hurt by someone before. But as I mentioned, holding on to that offense, that scar, will give the enemy an opportunity to make your life miserable, to steal your peace. Surrender your hurt, surrender your wounds to God, hey? Move on and forgive that person. Allow God to work on your heart from within, to soften it, to release the pain and the hurt. Pastor John Finkelly preached this about 2 weeks ago about betrayal, Matthew 18:21-22. Peter says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times. So Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. You may say, you don't understand my situation, Jonathan. I've been severely wounded by that person. I just can't find it in my heart to forgive. But we have to focus on ourselves and look into our lives. And when we have start to see that we have also sinned against God, our Savior Jesus Christ, by our thoughts, by our actions, by our words, that the amazing thing in our faith is that God does not keep a ledger of our offenses. Yeah, He forgives you and I and gives us that peace to move on. It is forgotten. There is no ledger of your offenses. It is finished. So if we are to imitate God and to be followers of Jesus Christ, we must learn to forgive and trust God to handle the rest. Focus on finding a solution rather than staying offended. So to be in healthy relationships with those around us, to build on solid Christian relationships in our lives, we need to move past the offense in our lives and allow God to do the healing work. You agree with me on that? Yes. Allow God to work on you from the inside so that what comes out of your lives will cause a huge impact to those around you. I want you to go home today, church, and fix your focus. The four areas I mentioned of your relationship with God. Focus on falling in love with God rather than falling out of love with Him. Time management. Focus on what I need to get done first rather than how much I need to get done. Communication. Focus on listening more and speaking less. Offenses. Focus on finding a solution rather than staying offended. Fix your focus. This will help you maintain godly relationships with those around you. Amen. Please stand as I commit this time to prayer. Father, we just thank You for this time. We thank You for this day, Lord Jesus. We thank You for Your people gathered here, Lord Jesus. And I pray that that word that was spoken will bear fruit in the hearts of all here, Lord Jesus. Father, we just want to thank You, Lord Father, for Your relationship in our lives. And I pray, Lord Father, that we will learn to be kinder with our words, Lord Jesus. We will learn to communicate better, Lord Jesus. We will learn to manage our time better, Lord Jesus, so that we can live wisely for You, for Your kingdom, and most importantly, impact the relationships around us. So we thank You, Father, for this day. And all the people of God say, Amen. Amen.